When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
The New York Giants get ready for a better week two than they had a week one. We just watched a Thursday night where the quarterback didn't have a very good game. These things happen. We're here to talk about it. I'm Coach Gene Clemens, and I have a Giant issue. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of A Giant Issue. I'm Coach Gene Clemens. Thank you for joining me. New York Giants on SI. That's where you can find all of your New York Giants news and information. Make sure you go there for everything New York Giants related. Make sure that you hit the subscribe button on the YouTube channel. We appreciate the thousands of you who have already come on and made this a successful podcast. We've also appreciated if you tell a friend, phone a friend, talk a friend, tell a friend. Hit them up on social media, at Gene Clemens, that's where you find me. Always appreciative. Thursday night was just another indicator of what can and cannot be at the quarterback position, right? Because a lot of the issues that Miami had when they were deciding on whether or not to pay Tua Tagovailoa was, hey, sometimes he makes some decisions post-snap, that's not the greatest in the world. Also, he gets hurt. And if he gets hurt in a way that is not successful for us, we could be on the hook for a lot of money. They paid Tua, and guess what? Tua went out week two, threw the ball to the other team a bunch, and then got hurt. Manifesting everything that that team was afraid of when they gave him the money in the first place. Something similar happened in New York, right? Everybody was wary, or there were people who were wary. Hey, if you pay Daniel Jones and he reverts back to the Daniel Jones that we've seen before 2022, this could be a problem. And guess what happened? They gave him the money. He reverted back to being the Daniel Jones pre-2022. Now, we sit in a week two for the Giants where the first week for Daniel Jones could not have been any worse, right? Two interceptions. I'll give him credit for one. The other one, I still think is on Jermaine Illuminor, but I digress. Two interceptions. He looked frazzled. But the entire week, all I've heard was, oh, well, he's fragile. He's not feeling well, or he's not himself. And this is the lowest that I've seen Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones is shell-shocked. He's a shell of himself, right? I heard all of these weird things, and everything I kept thinking was, that was just 1 week, right? It's just 1 week, and in 1 week, you shouldn't be making overarching, hey, this is what it's going to be for the entire year. If you remember last year, because I talked about it earlier in the week, if you remember last year, Daniel Jones week one, not very good. Daniel Jones week two, was QB1 in fantasy football. That means he put up a lot of stats, and they won. So that was a good thing, right? So the ebbs and flows of the quarterback position means that when you're not the elite of the elite, you have some really, really bad games. And then you have some really, really good games, right? The only guys who don't go out and have really, really bad games are the elite of the elites, the Patrick Mahomes, your Lamar Jacksons, those guys, they don't go out and have their bad game. A lot of times is the decent game of those next level, those next tier quarterbacks, right? That's what their bad game is. They don't usually go out and just have completely and totally, utterly awful games, right? And if they do, they normally come back and light the world on fire. So I go into this, I go into this week two matchup with the Washington Commanders, and I'm like, there's still reason for optimism. There's still reason for us to look at this team and go, they have a chance to get a win. And if we leave out of week two with the New York Giants at 1-1 after the disaster that was week one, how could you not feel good about the season going into week three, regardless of who you're playing? That's the way that you have to think about it if you don't just want to sit around and be negative the entire time. It's really easy. It's really easy to go and be negative when things seem down, right? When negativity is at its all-time highest. It's easy to just pile on. Sometimes it's not in our best interest. It's not in our best interest to think positive about these things. Sometimes it's in our best interest to think negative because we want to blend in with the crowd. However, if we step back and look at this thing objectively, here were a few things that were going against the New York Giants in week one. The first is the philosophy of not really playing the starters in the preseason. Law of unintended consequences. If you're going to take away a preseason game and add a game to the regular season, then you have to expect that week one is going to feel almost like a dress rehearsal game. Like it's not a real game. Like they're still trying to figure things out. You know why? Because they are trying to figure things out. This philosophy that some have, and the Giants seem to, you know, to fall into it, that, hey, we're going to do these joint practices, and we're going to get ones versus ones time in the joint practices, so we don't really need to put them out there. You know, we don't really need to put them out there in a real game during preseason because we have these joint practices. That's a flawed logic. Because it doesn't matter what you do in the joint practice, you can't make it feel like a game. You're always going to have it feel like a practice. Somebody's going to blow the whistle early. The quarterback isn't being touched. There are things that you're doing. There's the environment. There are no fans around. And if there are fans, they're not enough to make a difference, right? So when you think about all of those extraneous factors that come into play when you turn on the lights, when you actually have a game, you can see why it is that the Giants come out the gate the last two seasons, out the gate, not playing well. Because the last two seasons, they've had their starters on the bench during the preseason, and it takes a little bit to kind of get those things going. Right, everyone is all about safety, right? But it's not real safety, it's just the illusion of safety. Hey, we're not going to play our starters in the preseason because of safety. But if you're not doing things to get their bodies and their minds ready for the rigors of what they're going to see during the regular season, then what happens when they get to the regular season? They get hurt. They get mentally frazzled. And that's what happened to the Giants. Now, luckily for them, they were able to get things rolling in week two last year. The problem is that the injuries kept on piling up, right? The injuries kept piling up. So we're going into a week two where Malik Nabers was downgraded to questionable. That's not a great sign, right? That's not a great sign for the Giants that Malik Nabers in week two is already dealing with an injury that has him downgraded to questionable. Daniel Jones is not going to have as bad a game in week two as he had in week one. It doesn't matter if Malik Nabers is out there or not. You know why? because the history shows that he's not that bad, right? What he did on last Sunday was his low. That's what he can do when he's at his low. But he's not Davis Webb, right? He's not some of these other quarterbacks that just don't have an ability to be stellar. Like, he has an ability to be good. He just hasn't shown the ability to be good consistently. But his level of bad is normally not that level of bad. That is rock bottom bad. The same way that for Tua last night, for Tua on Thursday night, that was his rock bottom of bad. We've seen that from him before, where everything just seems to short circuit, and then he does something to get himself hurt. Like, it's almost comical. You could see it coming. I was talking with my friend group in this business, and we talk about sports all the time, and we're watching the game. And at one point, I said, "Yo, is Tua out there point shaving or something?" Like, because of how bad it was. And then someone said something to, "Hey, watch now. Watch, he gets hurt." And sure enough, he got hurt. Like, we see these things coming from quarterbacks. We see that snowball effect coming from quarterbacks. And so it'll be interesting to see how he bounces back. I do know this. They played the Commanders twice last year with the backup and the third string quarterback, I believe, and were able to move the ball through the air pretty well versus the Commanders. The defense that they have there now, Dan Quinn, the head coach, it is a real – Dan Quinn's been living off of what he did as the defensive coordinator for the Seattle Seahawks. He's been living off that for his entire existence. He was able to get the job in Atlanta because of what he did in Seattle, and then he was able to bring in a really good offensive coordinator who they probably should have fired him for and made the head coach in Kyle Shanahan, but they didn't. Shanahan went to the 49ers, and things just started going down immediately, right? He got out of Atlanta. He then went to the Cowboys as the defensive coordinator. That Cowboys defense wasn't good. That Cowboys defense just had a lot of turnovers. And then the next couple of years, they weren't actually good, but he was able to flip that into another head coaching job. He has been living off of what he's done in Seattle, and now he's going to do the same thing in Washington.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Almost kind of similar to Ron Rivera. It's really interesting that they got rid of a defensive coach in Washington and brought in another defensive-minded coach. You don't normally see that. You normally see that pendulum swing the opposite way, right? You normally see it be a situation where you go from a defensive coach to an offensive coach, or an offensive coach to a defensive coach. Rarely do you see it happen where a team goes from a defensive coach to another defensive coach. So that was interesting to watch. That was interesting to see. I think for the Giants, it's going to be important for them, A, establish some type of run game that does not include Daniel Jones as the primary runner. That should not be happening right now. Daniel Jones should only be used in the run game as somebody who can make it an 11 versus 11 game. If he can't make it an 11 versus 11 game, then he shouldn't be involved in it. And that's the problem. Like, that's what he should be doing. If he's not on that type of time, if he's not doing that type of thing, then it's not going to work for him. Right? They have to establish some type of run. You can't tell us, oh, well, you know, we didn't need Saquon Barkley, and then go out there and run the ball like you're incapable of running when you've improved the offensive line. If you improve the offensive line and you took the running back away and replaced him with someone you said was going to give you similar production, and then you don't produce at all, then what are we to believe? That it wasn't the fact that the offensive line wasn't better. It was a fact that the back was that much better. He made everything look better. Right? He made everything look better. He put Band-Aids on the gunshot wounds. But now with no ultimate Band-Aid there, things just keep bleeding. Right? And so that's what I need to see. I need to see the Giants come out and make a concerted effort to move the ball on the ground. That will then open up the deep shots. That will open up the screen game. That will open up the short intermediate passes. But it has to start from the run. And if it's not going to start from the run, then Daniel Jones needs to be a lot sharper on his short to intermediate throws, which he wasn't in game one, right? So those are the things that we need to see out of Daniel Jones. Those are the things that we need to see to make sure that he is operating at a level. He's operating at a level that's going to allow him to be successful in week two. Defensively, got to stop the run, number one, because they're going to see what happened last week and go, well, we've got Robinson. Robinson can run the ball, right? You have to identify where Austin Ekeler is, and you're going to have to corral a quarterback that when he takes off, it's a problem. Jaden Daniels is a problem when he takes off and runs. So you're going to have to make sure that you take care of that part of the run game as well. But then we're going to need to see these defensive backs cover these wide receivers. I don't believe that the wide receiving core is as good as Minnesota's receiving core. But I think their running game is better than Minnesota's running game. And so if the Washington receiving core can have success, then it's really going to be bad because that's going to open up the Washington run game to have success. And then I think across the board, outside of Dexter Lawrence, this defensive line and edge rushers, they're going to have to play better. The defensive line and edge rushers are going to have to show that they are worth the money. Either our $100 million man, Brian Burns, making some spectacular plays, or Kayvon Thibodeau, the guy who wants to be a $100 million man, making plays. They are going to have to bring the pressure from the outside so that the man up the middle, Dexter Lawrence, can do his job. And then we're going to need to see a little more out of Nacho, right? Nacho is there as the run stopper of the group. So watching these guys just run through lanes like there's nobody there, to me, is an indictment on Nacho. And we need to see Nunez Roaches do a lot better in these situations. We just haven't seen it till now. And we need to see more of it. Right? Defensively, that's where it is. Stop the run. Allow these defensive backs to cover these and be a little bit more aggressive on these receivers so that it can't just be pitch and catch all day for a rookie quarterback. The rule of thumb on a rookie quarterback has always been the same. Send pressure. Pressure, 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 pressure. Because what's Jaden Daniels going to do when he gets pressure? He's going to run it. That's what he's going to do. He's going to run the ball. And when he runs it, we should have somebody there to spot him, to be able to keep him from running away. This would be a perfect opportunity, right, for them to use a guy like Isaiah Simmons to be that type of spy. A guy like Isaiah Simmons should be able to operate in a manner that allows him to spy on Jaden Daniels. And anytime Jaden Daniels runs, he's fast enough to be able to go and walk him down, and he's big enough to make it hurt. Right? So that's where I feel like the math has to change for the Giants. What's the matchup that you use to try to keep Jaden Daniels from running? Because if you pressure him and he sees a lane, he's going to take it. If he doesn't see people open downfield and he sees a lane, he's going to take it. He has the opportunity to have a big game on the ground, so that even if he doesn't hurt you that much through the air, what he does on the ground will make it more difficult for you to have success. I think it's really important for us to keep that in mind when watching this game. Can we corral Jaden Daniels, keep him in the pocket, force him to be a passer only, right? Not that he can't pass. We want to force him to be a passer only, and then we want to put pressure on him so that he has to make quick decisions before he has a chance to read. If that happens, then the Giants can have success. It starts up front. It starts up front on both sides. Establish the line of scrimmage. Establish the line of scrimmage on the run game, and then establish the line of scrimmage in defending the run. Establish the line of scrimmage or the pocket for the quarterback. Make sure that the quarterback has better pocket awareness, because Daniel Jones' pocket awareness in game one, really, really bad. But then, on the other side, collapse the pocket and don't give the quarterback lanes to be able to escape, right? If you give him lanes to be able to escape, you're not catching him. He's fast. But if he does escape, you got to have somebody there to see him that has the athleticism to be able to run with him. I think that's Isaiah Davis, right? I think that's where he can really be a plus one for this defense. I also would like to see some more dynamics out of the special teams. It hasn't been a situation where the offerings have been great. Like, I haven't really seen anything out of the kickoff return that would tell me this is going to be a dynamic play for the Giants. And it should be a dynamic play for the Giants. That's what it's there for. So between all of those things, I really want to see what happens for the Giants in week two. I think week two will inform a lot about what we should expect from this team going forward, because this is a game where you should be on level playing field. Like, Minnesota should have been that game, right? Now Washington should be that game. And so if Minnesota and Washington are bad, then you go, okay, this is who they are. But if Minnesota was bad and Washington's good, you go, okay, Minnesota might have been a fluke, right? If there's no consistency of bad, then maybe bad can be inconsistent. And if bad is inconsistent, that means that you have a chance to be good, right? That's what I need to see. I feel good about this opportunity. I think they have a chance to be successful in this game. On Saturday, I'll be joined by The Beard from Authentic and The Beard. And they cover the NFC East. The Beard, I believe, is a Washington fan. And so we'll talk. We'll talk about the matchup. We'll talk about what we're looking forward to seeing from both sides. And then we'll give predictions. So you will not want to miss that. That's on Saturday, so make sure you're back here tomorrow to check that out. New York Giants on that side. That's where you get all your Giants news and information at. Make sure you go and check that out. I had a piece up that probably went live on Wednesday, I believe, maybe Thursday. I'm talking about the fantasy implications for the New York Giants this week. I'll have one of those every week, and then hopefully my video breakdowns will start coming back once we see something really like interesting to break down. I don't want it to always be so doom and gloom, right? I want to be able to celebrate the positives that this team does as well as the negatives. So we'll get back into that as the weeks continue to move on. Until next time, I'm Coach Gene Clemens, and I have a giant issue.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.